Hallelujah.
Amen.
I wasn't going to say anything tonight. The Lord laid on my heart to share a testimony to you. It's about tithing. The Bible says in Malachi, if you don't give what is God's, we're robbers. Now you can say, well, I can't afford to give tithes. Well, I said that one time too. And when it was laid on me, I was raising two kids. I had a wife, didn't work. And I had a good job, but there's no way that I would be able to pay tithes and pay my bills. Now, you can think that if you want to, but God will always make a way for you.
Amen.
Because He always has to back up His Word. His Word is true. I mean, all you got to do is read it and see what the way the world is today, and prophecy is being fulfilled as we speak. So God came to me and he laid on my heart. I said, man, I can't do this. And eventually I did. And I paid my tithes and I felt good. But when I didn't pay my tithes, I didn't feel good. But God made a way. It was actually, I had more money going out than I had coming in. That's impossible. Okay? But nothing is impossible with God. So, my life has always been to give what is God's, okay? Because I know where my blessings come from. They come from God.
Amen.
And me and my son, we ended up getting a business together. And I told my son that I wanted him to pay tithes from the start on the business. I don't care if you pay anything else, you pay God. He has from the get-go, and from this time on, from day one, our business made money.
Amen.
Now that's a miracle. Amen. Most jobs that most businesses you don't even make money the first year.
No.
For actually, sometimes it's almost 7 years before you do. So I said, Jacob, he says, you need to pay tithes. And he did. And so he said one day that he had to write out a pretty good check. I guess it was $1,000. And some of you think that, $1,000 is a lot of money. But when you give it to God, it isn't a lot of money.
That's right.
Really. And I said, well, what's your problem? I said, write it. And he did. And the next day, I went to the place where we got our equipment. The man had 20 trucks or something like that, 25 trucks. And he wanted me to wash them. And the story is that we made more money. I got them trucks to wash. Didn't use our equipment, didn't use our soap, didn't use our water, didn't use anything of ours except for our labor. And we doubled what he paid in tithes.
Amen.
That day.
Amen.
So you can't outgive God. No. I mean, you just can't outgive God. And it works. I'm telling, some of you are testimony here that can say the same thing, that it works. And when money comes in and it isn't, you know, my wife used to get upset at me because she couldn't balance the checkbook because there's always more money in there than there were supposed to be. Now that's God. I'm just telling you, that's God. So, you know, y'all think about it. What you receive from here, just back there, would you pull out of there? What you get in what you put in that bag, remember, it comes from God.
That's right.
So when you have to dig in your wallet, you need to think about when you dig in your wallet and how much you want to put in there. From the beginning of the week, from the check, from when you get your check or when you get your money, put your 10% in there. And God says, and then I'll close with this because I don't take the pastor's time. It says, the only way in the Bible says, test me.
That's right. Yes.
Test me. If I don't open the windows of heaven to pour out a blessing in which you can't contain.
Amen.
Wrap that around your head.
Yes.
most of all, wrap it around your heart. Because the Bible says if the word is just in your heart, anything you ask the Father, He will do.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And God is faithful in all things.
Amen. Yes, He is.
And since He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, money don't worry Him when He gives it back to you.
Amen.
Don't worry Him at all. But along those lines, since we're speaking of it, and mostly, I know some of you see me set this camera up over here. I've got a YouTube channel. I post some of these online, and I've got a podcast, and I post some of them on the podcast. So I'm saying this as much for the potential listeners out there on the internet. So, the church needs a new vehicle.
Yeah.
Yes. I.e. Billy. But Billy, you know, church, Billy, kind of synonymous.
Amen.
And she needs a four-wheel drive vehicle. But she don't need just any vehicle, because if y'all really want like this food, she needs a vehicle that she can haul food in, too.
Yes.
We could probably find her a decent vehicle to drive, because she's not driving a decent vehicle. She's not. And she's God's servant. And she's using the vehicle for God's service.
Yes.
So she needs a utility vehicle that is four-wheel drive, something like a Suburban or a four-wheel drive van or something like that, that she can both have dependable ride from. How far is the food route? From Blacksburg to the other side of Roanoke down here?
We go 1,200 miles a week.
Okay. Listen, 1,200. What year is that thing you drive?
97.
How many miles is on it?
Well, right now it's not a lot on that one. Well, how many is on it, Michael? About
150. 150,000 miles.
It's a Chrysler, 75,000 on transmission.
Yeah. So that's a lot of miles. And it broke down on her again today. Thank God she's got a son that's a mechanic, that knows mechanics. He may not be a mechanic, but he knows how God tells him how to fix it anyway. And yeah, you got a good red shirt on there, son. I mean, what can I say?
And he'll get paid either.
So that helps out. So what, you say, all right, preacher, what can I do? Well, Brother Tommy already exhorted you about your giving. And I know there's, well, I don't know, because I don't know what anybody's financial situation is. I don't know. You might be a multimillionaire sitting in here. Well, there was a fellow just died up north that was a multimillionaire. Nobody knew it. He rode a bicycle every day.
Wow.
And he left every bit of his money to the town for recreational and educational purposes. Millions of dollars. And he lived in a shack and rode a bicycle. So I don't know what anybody's financial condition is. I know when you give, God will honor your giving. But this also, I'm saying this. We are people of faith. Amen?
Amen.
So the Bible instructs us to have faith in God. And He instructs us in the Word of God, when we ask something according to His will, He will provide it for us. Now, He uses people to do that, but nevertheless, it is God placing things upon people's heart to do a specific thing at a specific time. So one thing I think maybe we are failing to do, I've heard your hearts here many times since Pastor Mike's passed on. And Pastor Mike has got his reward now. He's not suffering. And quite frankly, I kind of envy him a little bit because he's technically laying back on Easy Street right now. Well, he is. Heaven is not a burden, by the way.
That's right.
But he's left his wife and his son and all of you in leadership, especially in the church, you've got the burden now.
Yeah.
What I think is not being appropriately done is exercising enough faith in God. I think we need to be looking to Him more for the provision of the church. And when we look to Him more for the provision of the church, it's not a simple confession. It is believing and receiving. You see, you can believe all you want to. You can have all the faith in God that you want to have. And you can believe all you want to. But then if you don't get to the point that you lift your hands up and say, okay, God, I've believed, I've received, I believe, I trust you, and now I'm ready to receive. Pour it on me, God.
Right.
Bring the blessings in.
That's right.
So I will ask you to join your faith with me right now. I mean, and this is a little bit personal to me because Mike's my brother and Billy's my sister-in-law. I mean, we've known each other since we were, what, 19 years old?
Yeah.
Just snot-nosed kids. That's the way I mean. Well, I was for sure. And I've seen them for 20, almost 30 years. I've seen them come to Rono week after week after week. I've passed them because I live in Christiansburg. I've passed them on the highway headed to Virginia Tech to get food. And any other place, Red Lobsters, and everybody that gave food over the years. And I've seen them go to the bread company down here, and I've seen them unload food, and I've seen them give all of their income into this church to keep it open when nobody else would give. Now, I'm not saying it was any of y'all, because I don't know if any of y'all were here. So I'm not condemning anybody here. But I have seen them give their livelihood to keep those doors open for anybody that will come through.
Amen.
So when I see, I'm just going to be perfectly transparent tonight. When I see my brother's widow, my sister-in-law, she's got the same last name as me. We're not blood kin, but we are blood kin. When I see her driving a piece of junk up and down the road, I'm going to be real blunt. It pisses me off. You say, preacher, you shouldn't talk like that. Don't you dare think you're righteous enough to tell me how to talk.
Come on now.
When she's especially doing it for God.
Amen.
Now, we can all get together and put our faith together, and we can put our receivers together. But the other thing that we can do is we can give just a little more. And one thing we can do is contact people. I'm not afraid and I'm not bashful to ask somebody for something on behalf of God. So when you get out here during the week, this week, I place a faith challenge in front of you to start talking to people and say, we've got a church in Southeast Roanoke. It is a mission-based church that has been here over 20 years. The pastor has recently passed on, and we have needs within the church to keep the doors open, to keep providing the mission of God. And we need, and our former pastor, our founding pastor's wife needs a vehicle to transport food in so she can feed Southeast Roanoke.
Amen.
So you can pray and you can ask people. The thing I found out about asking people is the only thing they say is no.
That's right.
You say, well, I might offend somebody. Well, look, they're already offended at you anyway, because you're a Christian. If they're going to get offended at you for asking for something on God's behalf, then they're already offended at you because you're a Christian. Period. So just give them a reason to be ticked off. So I want you to pray with me tonight. And I'll send Billy, when I get this video edited and put online, I will send her the link. You can, if you want to share that, she wants to send it out, and you can share the link with other people so we can see, so people can see this is not just you asking. Sometimes you have to prove things to people. And you know what? That's okay. I don't take people's word at anything. So it's okay. So I want you to pray with me. If you will stand tonight, we are going to pray this prayer of faith for this specific reason. Because you see, the God that I serve is a specific God.
That's right.
He has a process and an origin for everything that's ever happened.
Right.
And always will.
That's right.
So release your faith with me and pray. Don't just stand there and listen to me pray. Pray, because y'all know how to pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before the throne of grace tonight, we so much worship you and we praise you and we give you thanksgiving for all the things that you have done. But yet, Father, we stand here in need tonight. We stand here in need of your presence in our midst tonight. We stand here in need of an open heaven, God, to fall upon us tonight. And we all stand here in need of a blessing tonight. But we pray and we join our faith together, one with another in this congregation. We are praying for a new four-wheel drive vehicle for Sister Billy to drive up and down the road 1,200 miles a week, God. She's driving 1,200 miles a week, God, doing your work. So we pray, God, that you would place it upon the people's heart to give. We would pray, God, that there's an automobile dealer out there somewhere that will be confronted by one of the witnesses here or be confronted by this video on the internet, God, and that you would convict their heart, God, and they would say, hey, I have the resources to help that sister. I have the resources to help United Christian Inner City Ministries, a.k.a. the Chicken Church. I have the resources in abundance, and I am going to give. I'm going to give the vehicle. I'm going to give the finances. I will do whatever is necessary. We pray, God, for you to open that man or that woman's heart or multiples of men and women's hearts, God, for this purpose, God. We receive this vehicle into this congregation in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and for your almighty glory, God. Amen. And everybody give God a hand clap of praise for it to come along. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Well, I got hurt. Good thing I can talk hillbilly fast. Hillbillies talk fast because we only say half our words.
That's right.
We only pronunciate half.
That's right.
That's why y'all can't, that's why y'all city folks can't understand us.
Hello.
Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, I don't know, but I suspect everyone in here tonight has had a few fiery darts thrown their way. Amen. That fiery dart, if we look at the representation of the Greek language and what it means, it actually is a javelin or a spear of some kind. And we know back in biblical days that we are speaking of historically here, that when two armies were going against one another, they would take their spears and they would wrap them in some type of cloth and they would light those things and they would throw them at the wooden gates and different things, trying to start a fire to destroy the barrier that was around the person or country they were attacking. So those fiery darts, what do those fiery darts do? Well, they do this. They inflict pain. They may even inflict death. But sometimes those fiery darts are the ones that we have given invitation to come right at us too. Sometimes those fiery darts could be lust. Sometimes those fiery darts could be just pure passions that are against God's will. Sometimes those fiery darts could be temptations that Satan sends your way to disrupt your walk with God. Sometimes it can just be pain. Sometimes it can be poverty. Sometimes it can be sickness. Sometimes those fiery darts are death, a death of someone that we love. It is close to us. The one thing that we know that will happen in this life is that fiery darts will come our way. But the good thing about it is this. God gave you the answer to the fiery darts already. Didn't he? He said, above all, take the shield of faith. Well, what does a shield do? It protects you from the attack. Yes. It protects you from the harm. Yes. And when we do not lift up our shield of faith, when we forget, and I'm not criticizing, but when we get into trouble, when we are sick in body, when we are hurting, or when nothing seems to be going our way, we forget sometimes because we try to do one of two things. We either try to handle it ourselves.
Come on now.
Or we get just disgusted with God and we speak out of our mouth cursing on ourselves.
Yes. Right. Yes.
The Bible makes it very clear that we live and die by this tongue. The words that come out of our mouth are either blessings or cursings. They are life or death. I would challenge each one of us in here tonight to re-examine the words that are coming out of our mouth.
That's right. Yes.
Especially during times of difficulty and hurt. I know that it is terrible when you are sick and your body is down and doctors, God bless them. They need God's blessing, most of them. But God bless them. They think they have the answers. But they don't. They just don't. I think it's amazing when I hear governmental bodies like Roanoke City. And the reason I say Roanoke City is because they've made a big deal out of it in the press. On what they're going to do or doing to curb the violence on the streets. They call it gun violence. It's not gun violence, it's evil.
That's right.
I mean, it's evil. It's a murdering spirit.
Yes.
And they have all these meetings and they bring in all these experts to say, here's going to be the new program. There ain't nobody equipped to handle the murdering spirit except the Church of Jesus Christ. If we would learn how to be spiritual and learn how to pray spiritual prayers and learn how to live a spiritual life, led of the Holy Spirit, we could have a citywide revival praying against that murdering spirit and run it back into the heavens where it come from. But nobody wants to hear that. Maybe if I went and told them I had some kind of big doctorate and I had the answer to their problems and it would only cost them $3 million, they'd probably hire me then. But when I come and say, hey, we've got the answer for this community. Let's do it God's way. And it won't cost the city a dime. They say, well, it's got to be worth the sin. It's got to be worth the sin. But listen to this. There's never been a fiery dart thrown at you, Roanoke City, or anybody else. And I'm not making light of people's pain who have suffered through this violence. I'm not making light of that. I grieve with them. But let me tell you something. There's never been a fiery dart thrown that God in His sovereignty did not allow Satan to throw it. And you say, well, what kind of God is that? Well, He's a God who's true to His word.
That's right.
If we look in the book of Job, and I'm going to skip most of it for the sake of time tonight, but if we look in the book of Job, now, how many of you have ever read about Job? Okay. Old Job had it kind of rough, didn't he?
Yes.
Satan personally went to God and said, hey, God, you got this guy down there on earth called Job, and he really thinks he's something. And God said, well, no, I think he's something. He's a righteous man, and he stays away from evil. By the way, that's what some of us need to be doing more, staying away from evil, by the way.
Amen.
He's a righteous man and he stays away from evil. And Satan says, well, you know what, God? Yeah, but you've got him protected. I bet you if you moved your hand from him and let me throw a few of my fiery darts at him, I bet you, God, I challenge you, God, because Satan is God's enemy. Amen? There's been a sovereign war going on for ages and ages and ages that Satan continually tries to overthrow the sovereign God. And it just doesn't happen. And Satan says, well, take your hand from him. God said, all right, I'll tell you what. This is me paraphrasing.
Come on.
God says, well, listen, big boy, throw all the darts you want to. Just don't take his life.
That's right.
I can tell you right now that Job, the whole goal was to get Job to curse God.
Uh-huh.
You throw all the fiery darts you want to throw, you are not going to cause Job to curse me. So Satan did everything. He took his family.
Uh-huh.
He took his friends.
Uh-huh.
He took his finances. And then his wife started on him.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it is. And then if it wasn't enough that his wife started on him, all of his buddies started on him, cursing him, didn't he? And he said, well, even though I'm sitting here on a mound of dung, and I've been afflicted with sickness, God is my source.
Amen.
And I will rejoice in him. He is going to be, he said in Job chapter 1 and verse 21, he said, blessed, listen, sitting on a dung heap, full of infection and disease, hurting and pain, all alone, deserted by everybody, every one of his kids dead, every one of them. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. So these fiery darts, my friends, that Satan continues to throw against you, God has every one of them numbered.
Amen. There he does.
And when God delivers you out of that, when God numbered those fiery darts, he's going to take them and he's going to smack Satan right in the face with them. He's going to put Satan once again under his feet. Have you noticed that every time the devil came and tried to challenge God, that Satan was a loser? He must be a little bit stupid.
That's right.
I mean, if I keep getting beat up, I'm not going to keep going the same way.
Right.
I'm going to change my direction.
Right.
But here he goes. He goes at him once again. See, Satan don't have nothing to do. So he goes at him once again. And let me tell you this, though. When you stand up and say, I am a Christian, and I love God, you painted a target on your back. But yet, you say, well, I'm just not going to tell anybody. I'll just serve God quietly. Well, God says, then come the day when you come before me, he's going to say, I know you not. Depart from me, you evil person.
That's right.
So either we take it now, if the fiery darts come, the fiery darts come.
That's right.
So either we take it now, or we take denial from our Lord Savior.
That's right.
On the day of judgment. So what do? He said, put up the shield of faith. We do not put the shield of faith up long enough sometimes. We do not put the shield of faith up high enough sometimes. You know, sometimes when the armies were attacking the opposing army, they may have put their shield directly in front of them because that's the direction the fiery darts were coming from. But there were other times when the archers would shoot those bows and arrows on fire and they would shoot them out an arch over the air. They would have to gather around and put that shield on top of them. And the devil might throw a low blow at you. So you know what a low blow is? That's when your best buddy, you come home and he's in bed with your wife.
Oh, hell no.
When it low blows. or your best sister that you had coffee with, you come home and find her in bed with your husband. Them low blows. So that's when you got to get that shield of faith. You don't want the shield of faith up here high. The enemy's coming in low blows. You got to get down and you got to get dirty with your faith. And you got to curse that devil. And you've got to cast that devil using the authority of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you got to put that devil in his low place.
Amen.
You utilize the tools that God has given you. Which for the Christian is your faith.
Yeah,
right.
And you say, well, I just don't have that kind of faith there, Kevin. Well, why don't you? The Bible says every man was given a measure of faith.
Yeah.
Includes you ladies too when I say man. Y'all all the same in God's eyes. Two genders, but y'all all the same. He says, I gave you a faith, and he said, I gave you the formula. See, God never leaves anything undone.
That's right.
He said, I gave you the formula to increase your faith. He said, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So if you're telling me you don't have enough faith to lift the faith shield up, that tells me you're not hearing the word of God enough. So get your sorry self in church more. Get your Bible up and read it more. Talk to yourself. Read the Bible out loud to yourself.
Amen.
And you say, well, I don't read out loud that well. Then get your telephone that all of you are attached to and go on one of those Bible platforms that has audio Bibles and turn that play button on, sit there and shut up and let God speak to you. And increase your faith. Build your shield up to where when the fiery darts come, they don't penetrate.
Yes, right.
And they don't hurt you.
Yes, right.
So we sometimes are without, and we are sometimes hurting, and sometimes we're sick simply because we are not lifting the tool that God gave us, our faith. Our faith. And it's your faith. And when we come together like this, it's our faith then. And it's hard when we come together in unity for the enemy to do anything against any of us. When we pray and we lift each other up, you say, well, I don't really know how to pray. Well, let's just say tomorrow. Let's just say tomorrow. You're walking down the street here, and all of a sudden you feel compelled in your spirit. You hear it in your mind. You say, I wonder what old Kevin English is doing today. You reckon he's okay? Well, that's a good surefire indicator that the Holy Spirit is asking you to pray for me. So then all we have to do is acknowledge we heard from God. I need to pray for Kevin. God, I don't know where old Kevin's at today. Don't know what he's doing. Don't know what he needs. But you do, God, so I'm asking you to help him out. That's prayer.
That's right.
It's that simple. Y'all ever fell off a horse? Anybody ever fell off a horse but me? It's the easiest thing in the world to do. All you got to do is get up on it and you can fall right off of it. It's easy. So is prayer. So is praying for one another. So is interceding for one another. It is that simple. It doesn't have to be 33 different religious formulas.
That's right.
It just needs to be sincere.
Amen.
And you can go on about your business then. Well, God's taking care of that. I can go on and do what else I need to do today.
That's right.
Lift your shields up, folks. Do y'all realize that Satan knows that the grave is still empty?
Yes, it is.
Do y'all know that Satan knows the tomb of Jesus is empty?
Yes.
That's right.
So you know what that means to Satan? If he knows the tomb is still empty, that means he knows Jesus is alive.
Right.
Now, if we could just learn that in the church in America, that Jesus is alive, we'd all be really good.
Amen.
The devil knows it. It seems like Christians don't know that anymore. We treat God like he's a has-been. Now I know it, as society, when fellas, we get these gray beards and, well, brother here, he got hair. I ain't got nothing left. Society tends to maybe look at us when they see us coming down the road on the service. Well, that old man, what's that old man good for? But you see, we treat God that way sometimes.
That's right.
God's the ancient God. He's disconcerned, and he's getting old and feeble. I mean, really, we act like that as a church sometimes. I'm talking about the church in America.
That's right.
We act like God's dead. We even have preachers telling you God don't do the same thing today as he did yesterday. You have preachers telling you that God don't perform miracles anymore.
That's right.
Well, who appointed them God? They say, oh, I believe, I stand on the word. I stand on the word. My King James Bible, I stand on it. Okay, well, the Bible says he's an unchanging God and he's the God who works miracles. Oh, no, that stopped with the original apostles.
No, it isn't.
Don't tell me it stopped, because I done had too many miracles in my life. If I hadn't had a bunch of miracles, I wouldn't be standing in front of you this morning or this evening.
Amen. Preach it.
He still does everything that he always has done. And he's still holy. You see, we started preaching a greasy grace, and we told the world that we didn't have to pursue holiness anymore. We do have to pursue the standard of holiness that Jesus Christ exemplified for us. Doesn't mean we don't foul that thing up. But he said, all right, I'll pick you back up. Come on, let's try it again. When I was teaching my girls to ride bicycles, they would fall off that bicycle. And I would pick them back up, scrape the dirt off of them, and say, get back at it. That's the way God does us. It's not a one time and you're out. Thank God. Or heaven would be empty, I just got to say. Heaven would be a lonely place for God if he only gave us one shot. But that don't mean we take advantage of those opportunities either. We respect his righteousness and his holiness. Amen. Amen. All right, Sister Sharon, if you want to come up. We'll close out tonight. I am proud of myself. I'm 5 minutes early. Hallelujah. Well, somebody got pat me on the back. Hallelujah. So I want to ask you tonight, have you been treating God like he's dead?
No.
Well, if you have, it's no shame in it. It just means you need to stop it.
Right.
Just stop it. And acknowledge in front of him tonight, hey God, Lord, forgive me. I forgot about who you really are. Things have been tough, and every day all you ever hear is bad news.
Amen.
And when we hear bad news, that tells me that we are not in the right place hearing the good news.
Right.
So we just look forward to the good news. And we pursue after God. I don't know if any of you have ever been to the ocean or not, but if you have, or been to a great big wide river, if you want to get to the other side, if it's a big body of water anyway, you've got to have a vessel to get you to the other side.
Right.
Because if you go down here at Virginia Beach and you say, well, I'm going to head over to London, England, and you ain't got no vessel to be in, I just got to tell you, you ain't making the trip.
Right.
You ain't making the trip. If you're not trusting Jesus Christ as your living Savior, he is your vessel for all things current and to come. He's not just your vessel for heaven, he is your vessel for now. And if now, if this life gets the best of you, but you're a Christian, you're saved. This vessel gets, if life gets you, if sickness and illness gets you, and God, it, for whatever reason, it did not appear that He intervened. He's still standing there at the pearly gates waiting on you, if you trust in Him. So either way, you've won. We're the only faith, we're the only religion that can claim that. That our God's alive. We've got proof of it. Every naysayer in the world at that time tried to disprove it, say Jesus is dead, and they couldn't do it. He has arisen. And He went back to this heavenly portal, seated at the right hand of the Father. It says right now, tonight, He is serving in the capacity of your intercessor and your faithful high priest. And He's looking down on you here at the Chicken Church tonight, and He's saying, well, my son there, he's ready to confess, or she's ready to confess, and she's ready to get all this junk out of her life, and she's ready to really serve us, Lord, Father, God. She's really ready to serve us. Just give her a few more moments of grace. It's going to be okay, Father. That's what an intercessor does. And He says to the Father, He says, you know, Father, I was Emmanuel. You do remember that, right, Father? I was God manifested in a human body. Since we're here at Christmas time.
Yes.
I was manifested in that human body, and I know how that thing works, Father. It's a mess, actually. It's intricately made, marvelously made, but yet sin has turned that body into a mess. And I know it hurt. I know my son down there, he's suffering with cancer right now. And so I'm just asking you, Father, just give him a little bit of grace. A little more grace. Let's get him through one more day. So that's the kind of God you got. He's alive forevermore. So I'm not going to hold it off tonight, but I am going to ask you if you want to come up here just briefly tonight, because we're running just a little bit past time. If you need me to pray with you, that's fine. I will anoint you with oil. If you just want to come up here very quietly and quickly, just come to the altar and confess before God what's ever on your heart. You're welcome to do it right now. Hallelujah. Just tell God. Tell Him I'm a mess. Say, Lord, I'm a mess. What's your name, bro? Father, you heard the man's confession. He wants you to heal him of everything from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Heal his mind. Everywhere he's ever been hurt in life, God, I ask that you pass your healing balm across that hurt and sew it up like a seamstress sews up a garment that's torn, and she sews it up perfectly. I ask that you sew up every hurt this man's ever experienced in his life. And let them flee from him, never to return. Lord, only you and he can walk this walk together. And I ask, mighty God, that you strengthen his walk and his ability to see you, to experience you, and to know you as he's never known you before. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else want me to pray for them?
Yes. Hey, brother. so mad I would have cried like, hey, you know, I'm going to be that clean because, you know, I know.
Touch
I'm
your father.
Missing.
Touch your father.
Missing. Everybody know I'm going to miss him.
God, heal his heart.
I'm going to miss him.
Heal his heart, God. Give him the spirit this week to overcome all temptations. Give him the spirit this week, God, to see you clearly. I rebuke any addiction in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I command it bound, and I command it loosed and out of him. Loose! Loose this man! Loose this man! Loose this man! Brother Tommy, you come up here real quick, Brother Tommy. Jake and Tommy. Loosen. I command it in the name of Jesus. Absolute deliverance tonight. God, this man said he wants to be clean. He wants to serve you. He wants to know you. He wants to know his family. And he's grieving. God, touch him tonight, God. Touch him. Jesus. Anyone else? Hallelujah. All right, brother. Brother Jason's going to close it out and tell you what to do about the food.
Thank you. I really
Kitchen help, you can go into the back. Anybody that's going to work in the kitchen, I mean serving, cleaning up. However, if you're working in the kitchen, you can't go in the back.
I can't stay here forever. I got to go. John gone, Tony gone. What was my name? My mama's I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'll give my kids something to everything. I don't care.